Welcome to the Style Frame Saturdays podcast, the podcast dedicated to ideation, visual storytelling, and concept development as it pertains to an animated production. Typically, we break down our guests' favorite style frames, but today we're doing things a little bit different and hosting our first roundtable discussion, one specifically focused on fulfilling a creative brief. Join us as we dissect the brief's key components and gain insight into our guests' creative approaches when it comes to establishing the foundation of any motion design project. So, with that said, let's get to it. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the first ever Style Frame Saturdays roundtable discussion. I have some great guests here with me today, James Ramirez, Juliet Park, and Naki Din, and I'm so excited for all of us to talk shop together. So thank you guys for being here. If you don't mind, James, you know, could you kick things off for us and, you know, by telling us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I'm an art director based in Los Angeles. I mostly work in film and TV, but I do a lot of commercial work too. I'm kind of like a very much hands-on generalist who kind of likes to mess with projects and kind of get into the nitty-gritty of things. And so, yeah, that's who I am. I do stuff. I make pixels move.
Do stuff and make pixels. Awesome. Thank you, James. Juliet, how about yourself?
Thank you for, I think, just this opportunity to connect. I've been a creative professional for almost 20 years now. My work spans all kinds of work, broadcast, film, visual expressions, branding, all of that. And I'd say I found my way to motion design at Otis College of Art and Design. And it quickly became a space where all styles and storytelling mediums converged. So that felt right for me. And then from there, freelancing for many years, spent a long time at We Are Royale, honing in just every and all kinds of, you know, storytelling aspects. And then, yeah, now leading a 3D team and creatively leading at Microsoft.
Very cool. That's awesome. Thanks, Juliet. Mm-hmm. And Naki, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself before we jump into today's discussion?
Yes, so I'm Naki Din. I'm based in Seattle, and I'm a freelance 2D and 3D motion graphics designer. I specialize more in the stylized realm. So, yeah.
Very cool. Thank you, Naki. And thank you, everyone, for those introductions. For anyone who is familiar with Style Frame Saturdays or isn't familiar with Style Frame Saturdays, you know, we're typically focused on sort of like that early ideation pre-production process of, you know, motion design projects. But today's discussion is a little different. You know, today we're focused on the creative brief and how different creatives approach it. I'm sure if I were to ask everyone right now, you know, what your favorite commercial or advertisement or title sequence or general motion design piece was, you'd be able to call it up pretty quickly, and you'd probably know the team behind it as well. And that's what I believe the key word behind our discussion today is team or collaboration. And so that the best work is often the result of several minds and talents coming together. So our roundtable today is going to be focused on just that, bringing together several creative minds to interpret a creative brief and understand how you individually and collectively approach it as a team. So we've got a fictional brief that we're going to focus on today. It's for a fictional company called EG Sports. And this is what the brief is asking of us. I'm just going to go over like a brief synopsis of it for anyone who's watching. So the fictional mobile game company EG Sports wants to create a unique in-stadium ad experience for all Super Bowl 58 attendees. They would like to promote their newest mobile game called Lombardi League 2024 and are giving those who attend the event a sneak peek of it via an interactive ad that will be on display on the main Jumbotron inside Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas, Nevada. Attendees will see the looping animated ad on the Jumbotron, and at the end of the ad be given the opportunity to scan a QR code that will take them to their mobile provider's app store, where they can then download and get a free trial of the game for like 30 days. Obviously, then the goal of the advertisement is to get Super Bowl attendees to download and test the game, tell their social circles about it, and hopefully persuade others to test and buy the mobile game as well. The specs for this you know, looping advertisement, is that it'll be one video display ad in a 16:9 format at 4K resolution. The duration will be 15 seconds total, and the ad will be in a 3D MoGraph style. So that's our brief that we're going to sort of collaborate and discuss today. And the roundtable format will come together like this. So guests, you guys, you will have 15 minutes to kind of sort of discuss your plan of attack and approach to the brief, you know, talk about how you might divide up responsibilities early on in like the concept phase and take some time to think about how you might individually and collectively initiate such a project with your teammates. And then once you've had some time to do that, you know, I'll then invite you guys to, you know, just really dive right into the whole creative exploration and concepting, you know, discuss how you'll execute the brief together, you know, share what your creative process looks like during this phase, you know, think anything like mood boards, reference, inspiration, research, you know, what storytelling, you know, looks like for you, how basic design principles come into, you know, how you sort of start things off, share what types of questions you might ask of each other and, you know, whoever's going to take the lead or be a creative director type role when pulling together the concepts. And I know that we've talked about about this a little bit offline, but if your process involves doing some like initial sketching or design work, feel free to do that as well. Like, you know, the world is truly your oyster when it comes to sort of this collaborative discussion today. So then, yeah. And then the goal again is to just create the foundation for the rest of the project. At the end, when we wrap things up, you know, I'll just ask one of you guys to summarize and present the team's approach to the creative brief. So how does that sound?
Sounds fun.
Great.
All right, cool. All right. Well, with that said, you guys know the brief, you know, the description, you guys have it on hand, in Dropbox. So yeah, like feel free to start. Your time starts now.
I was thinking that usually, you know, these types of like, you know, like whenever they're doing like a new game like this, they usually kind of have like a hero like thing that they're trying to sell that year of like, you know, a component. And so I was wondering if there was something that we could like grab from that to like, you know, utilize like the, I think what's important is like it's at the event, right? So it's like, I think utilizing a component of the game's marketing to capitalize on the fact that we're in a stadium with people. I think there's something interesting there. I was thinking like if there was like a, say like a, you could scan your face or whatever and put yourself in the game as a player. Like it could be cool to like, you know, almost like the kiss cam thing where like part of it is kind of like scanning the audience and kind of showing that how like you could kind of create this transition of like integrating them into the experience, because I think that that would be like a cool way of saying like, you know, they're kind of like a part of this thing that they love. Obviously, if you're at the Super Bowl, like you, your love for that at that point is like pretty high, right? Because like that's expensive. So I thought that would be like an interesting idea to like kind of, or I mean, that's kind of like where my brain started going. I don't know.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think first and foremost, my mind also went to like what is the POV we're telling this from, right? And oftentimes in playing a game, not that I'm a big gamer, but you know, in my experience of creating, you know, campaigns for games, it feels like it is really important to highlight the person that's playing, right? And the experience of them being a player themselves. So something along the lines of allowing them to shine as, you know, the star athlete within the game makes sense to me. And then also, as with all games, every year's version comes out with, you know, new improvements, whether it's new tech, interactive plays, whatever that might be. So yeah, calling that out also makes sense.
Yeah, the first time when I saw the brief, I was like, I know nothing about sports. So I did, like, for me, it would be like researching all of that first and what it's like, what is, I don't know, Madden NFL, what is that? Like, I don't even know. So then I would go and research all of that. But I think I agree with you guys too. I think one of the first thing I was thinking was definitely some sort of audience participations in this kind of experience. I was thinking of, I don't know, maybe my terminology is going to be like way off, but I think in this, in football, don't you have to like do the kick at the end through the score thing to
The
But I thought it would be fun if everybody has their phone and the jumbo bone is like the target that you
Oh.
have to like throw the football at. So it's different for everybody throughout the stadium.
Oh,
Somebody might have like
interesting.
an easier experience because they're closer, or somebody would be like
Yeah.
harder because they're further away.
Very
And
interesting.
that could be like some, I don't know if like technology wise if that's like a thing, but
Don't worry, we
right.
have like $1 billion budget. It's okay.
Yes. I mean, it was clearly called out that the world is our oyster, right? So
Right. Yeah, there you go.
we can
If
do what we
anything
want.
is possible, I think it would be fun to have everybody kind of play their own versions of like
Yeah.
scoring the goals.
Yeah. I think, like that would kind of like scare me from like a technical side. Well, I just because like I kind of think of like, when you think of an advertiser paying a lot of money for something, you don't want there to be as many variables, right? Like, so if like a lot, like say like half the people couldn't download and install something to interact with it, I feel
Good call.
like that would be like a negative, like takeaway. I think they would see that as like a bad thing.
Sure,
But
sure.
I think if you tied it in as a way like, as you watch the ad and maybe like it ended with like a call to action to do something like that, and then maybe like around the maybe like during breaks or something of the game, because like basically you would have to give people a heads up like, hey, get this thing and you can do this thing, and then maybe like when they had like commercial breaks or something, they could put it up on the screen and everyone could like interact with it, and then I think that would be like a great way, because if people could, like maybe there's like a leaderboard or something up there, and like, people who made the most or something, then it's kind of a way of like people to really want to interact with it, to get competitive because they would want their name up there. So like it would be a interesting way to like get people engaged with it, and then when they shared those stories, they would be talking about the game basically. So I think
Right,
that's a
right,
cool
right.
idea, but I think it would have to be like a kind of like a call to action thing.
Yeah.
I do like that idea, James, just in the sense of like, sports fans are often probably like have some sort of competitive nature. So
Yeah.
in highlighting and showcasing, like the different, I don't know, like people performing well once they're downloading the game or whatever that might be may entice other people to join in. But a
Yeah.
call to action at the end feels right, feels good.
Yeah, 'cause it kind of ties into the like if the takeaway is like you want people to like get access to this like free trial or what have you, like maybe like you incentivize it a bit more where it's like, yeah, if you have like a high score, maybe you like you unlock something in the game too, like maybe you get like a custom, I don't know, jersey or whatever the game is offering,
Yeah, some in yeah, incentive. I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, so I think that works for the brief actually. I think that kind of like helps that story, that narrative. I mean, basically like what I would want to avoid in it, which is probably count, it's like if Budweiser approaches Super Bowl ads in a way that is like they don't advertise their beer, I would almost want to propose to, EG Sports that like we're not advertising their game. Like I would rather it be about the feeling or experience of being a part of the game than it is so much more like, okay, that's 30 seconds and 20 of that is gameplay and 10 second is like graphics. So oddly enough, like I would try to like push the most like kind of out there idea, I think. Because I think you're trying to challenge. I think if everyone just saw like a gameplay, I kind of feel like a lot of people would look away, like wouldn't pay attention, you know? Like I
That's an interesting thought, especially since we're talking about the world as our oyster. So we're not capping, the amount of money that it's going to cost to make this 15-second promo, like if that's the case, because I feel like oftentimes in our process to solve creatively, money is always part of that equation, right? And that tends to be where do we bring in more game footage or less? Do we actually have 3D characters involved and then bring on, highly specialized animators? Do we take it to live action, right? And it makes me think of a project that I worked on where it, for Final Fantasy, where it does try to capture the feeling of being like, I mean, it's us, we're playing the game, but what is it like to have an actual Final Fantasy character next to you, right? Or like you're engaging with another actual athlete in your own living room, whatever that might be. So it's an interesting thought to tap into that feeling of, one really living the experience and playing it out as an athlete. And then the question of what does that visually then look like, right? Is it a live action moment where gameplay and, our lives converge? Is that the way to tell that experience? Or is it, like you mentioned, kind of the skinning of the face to then look like myself? And that's another avenue to tell the story. So, yeah, it's interesting to kind of think of different solutions based on the fact that, well, how much
With
money do we have?
that, I will say Juliet just hit on the most important thing that we just skipped over, and we just pretended everyone who's listening is like done this a million times. But yeah, so like if we were approaching this basically like the things that you immediately consider, like you pointed out, is like basically this brief would come in and it would have a budget attached, it would have a schedule attached, and then, as a studio or team, we basically would decide what are the options that best fit within that, right? So like say they were giving us 2 weeks and $50,000. So if you were gonna do like if I came to the table and I told, hey Juliet, let's like do photoreal like CG with the full crowd simulation, she'd be like, James, we have $50,000 and no time, we're not doing that. And then Naki would be like, yeah, actually, I think for the money we should do 75% footage and we'll figure out really cool transitions between them. And then the producer in the room would be like, yeah, I like Naki right now. And then like one of us would probably like come in the middle somewhere and say like, I think that's cool, but like, we have like right now on staff, we have like some really amazing 3D animators and cel artists. So like how could we like combine both of them? So you basically like as this came in, you would kind of look at your resources available, which are staff first, because staff is gonna like it's the most cost efficient, right? Freelance means that you're basically paying specialists or generalists to come in to do specific roles. So like maybe that's like comping or something. So like maybe you would try to like basically slice your pie to figure out the most effective route to attack it, right? So in this instance, we're saying, I don't, did we say us, did you give us the schedule in
I
this?
was just gonna say, so I totally breezed right over the one constraint that I threw into the brief.
12 weeks.
Oh, Yes,
there's
12
one.
weeks. So we do have 12 weeks. Budget, like Juliet said, this could be a bajillion dollar project, for all
So
we care.
in 12 weeks, I think in that instance, like this would be kind of like a piece that a studio would really sink their teeth into because A, it has like the money and it has the time. And those are two things you don't get in this industry, period. Never. Like, usually you have no time and a compromise of a budget. So you're trying to do as much as you can with as little. So in this instance, I think we would actually go pie in the sky and then kind of like take those 12 weeks. Or like your producer on your like the creatives, like we wouldn't be doing this. But like, I mean, maybe Juliet would be in this phase, but like they would take that and like kind of like start figuring out like, okay, we can do pre-production this long, we can do, design for this long and, all the different elements. And then usually, like, if your budget is tight, you're kind of like, you always wind down all of those. So it'd be like, if you had a comp team of like six people, that would drop down to like three, and then drop down to two, and then one, or whatever, like taper. And so I feel like in this instance, you could just like have everyone going full time and just like not worry about it. But I just wanted to like kick back to that, because I think Juliet immediately hit on like the important part, which is everything in the real world has time and money, and you kind of consider your options based on that. And so I think that was like a really important thing to say that we glossed over.
That's a great reminder. Thank you.
Well, I mean, it's, because like it's something, I personally struggle with a lot, which is I'm usually on smaller teams. And so in the design phase, I'm usually being very practical with my designs, and I'm either making designs in like 3D or After Effects to know that I can make them, because I don't want to pie in the sky and say like, here's all these things and we don't have the time to make these. But usually it's me who has to make them, so usually I'm very practical with my design. So I think that was kind of like why I realized that, those constraints are kind of important in this. But I think those are like, like we have all the money, so we get to do like really cool stuff.
Right. Yeah, I do feel those aspects are very important in that whether it's pitching or designing, I think it ensures or sets the team up or the studio up, whoever it is, the artist up for success in that you are only going to hit the target better, solve the creative problem better. If it's within those constraints, but pushing it, as much as possible, within those boundaries. So, yeah, definitely very important.
Well, yeah, because I think it, man, I was just on something recently and we were talking about that exact constraint. But it's like if you know that, you kind of are going to end up with like, say in a 30-second spot, if you're going to have like two really big like hero shots, you can really go all in on those rather than trying to go all in on the entirety, right? Like you can kind of like pick and choose where like this is like your money shot. This is where like we're gonna spend the most time and energy on. And also like you give your client something to like focus on too as like their moment. So, if like say like we do something like this kind of like interactive kind of like integration of like the participants and the game, like that moment of like having that feel like it seamlessly works and integrates and becomes gameplay, like, would be like a really hero moment for them to pull off. And I think you would almost have to, as I was like thinking about that, I was like, well, how do you do that if like you're taking a picture of somebody from the stands? Like, how does that work? Like maybe you have like a stand-in in the audience, you know what I mean? Like somebody who you already scanned beforehand, like, but they seem like they're a fan at the game, so you kind of like are cheating
Right.
it. Because that way then you could like have already like a scan of them and do like a cool transition or whatever. I think that would be like a cool thing. And then where my head just went with that too, honestly, as I said, like a fan of the game, I was thinking, like there is this kind of like team spirit approach to everything. Like every kind of like team has their kind of like different ways that they celebrate their teams or cities or whatever. So like that could also be like a cool element to bring to the game if like, what if like you introduce a team and then it's like a really like hand drawn style like transition, and then you go to another team and it's like a much more finessed, like, polished like 3D thing or whatever. Like it could be kind of cool to like celebrate the voices within the sport of like the audience, also in the visuals approach to it. So that could be kind of like a cool, I don't know, thing to tie into.
I like that. I do
One
want to
of a
back up. Oh, go ahead, Naki.
go
Oh, no, I just wanted to back up and then call out something interesting that my mind kind of just stuck to, which was what you said, Naki, in that you're not a sports fan, you don't know the lingo, but The beauty of it, I think, and an encouragement for all artists is that I wouldn't say I'm a sports fan either, but I've definitely worked across so many different jobs, including Madden many years ago. So it's interesting that you really don't have to be someone that's already well-versed in a subject matter. But like Naki said, you just, you know, do your due diligence to research, you know, again, like I love to take deep dives into researching and just pulling inspiration. I won't stop until I feel like I can stop. It's just my process. But, you know, I think that's something nice to call out is that you don't really have to be someone well-versed in the, you know, I don't know, company, the brand, whatever it might be. There's room and time to like learn it and then speak it. Mm-hmm. It might have to be fast, but it happens. It happens and it works.
Well, a lot of time too is the client is very well versed. So if you don't know something, they're the best person to kind of ask your questions. Mm-hmm. Like for me, I would probably ask like, oh, what kind of the audience are like going into these things, you know, what their personality. And you touched the point where they, you said that they're probably, some of them have this competitive nature and stuff. And to, that's something great to kind of tap into as well.
Yeah, research-wise, I try to look outside of the current situation I'm in to try to get the most outsider view. And so sometimes that means like for a motion piece, not looking just at the motion world, like looking at photography or paintings or, you know, art history or something to pull from so that it helps like inform like a, you know, you're just like pulling outside. So you're just not referencing the last like buck or, you know, whatever piece, like let's make what they made. It's like, no, like, even though everything's already been done, it's still like you're trying to like, you know, pull from a different well, I guess is what I'm trying to say. And so I would, you know, with a piece like this, I think I would develop a few buckets to pull reference for, and it would be kind of like each element of the spot. So like, I would say I would probably pull, my first bucket would be, I would think of like bringing on an editor to go through kind of like heroic football moments, to think of like camera angles and kind of like, because that's the one thing that like the Super Bowl is like really good at, is every year they're trying to come up with the best way to get like the newest best shot. So whether that's like a drone or, you know, a crazy zoom lens or like, you know, whatever like LiDAR scanning they're doing to like whip around stuff, or, you know, like audio is important. So like I would have somebody who's just pulling like a bucket of like reference for like camera and actions, like that kind of thing. I would then like have another bucket that's like just fandom, fan spirit, game spirit, anything that's kind of related to like, kind of, you want to have like the most outlandish, like the people who are like painting their bodies and lining up with each other to like, you know, spell out things, like all of that. And then probably like a reference for like whatever we ended up thinking that like the transitions or like moments are, like kind of buckets of art for that. So that's, you know, I would probably like start with like those kind of things, but I kind of, in that way, like when you can kind of like re-present your ideas to the client and break down how everything is coming together, kind of like a recipe, like what all the ingredients are, then they kind of are able to, they won't get overwhelmed, right? Because sometimes people are, you know, they'll see like a really pretty design frame or something and they don't know how to comment on it because they don't like the color, they don't like the type or the whatever. So if you give them these buckets and say like, here's how we're treating this, and this is our approach to this, and this is our approach to this, they can kind of like start signing off on the ingredients. And then they feel like they're also in the kitchen with you cooking, because like, it's not like you're hiding all that from them and you're saying like, we're going to go away and we're going to do this and you're not involved. Like the more involved they are, the more they're going to be sold on it. So like, I forget who said it, but it's like the, like, you know, the best way to like convince them is to make them think it was like their idea. Right. It's like the inception approach. And so it's like, if you get them to like, you know, say, I feel like I feel like I heard PJ say that recently at R&D or something. I feel like that. It was like, you know, it's that idea that like, if they feel like it came from their brain, they're more likely to sign off on it. So that's like, you know, with regards to research, like that's kind of like how I would start, is like creating buckets and then filling out those buckets. And then you'll start getting more ideas and also like artists for those buckets too.
I do like that call out around bringing the client along in the journey. I think that's super important, whether it's from a communication standpoint or collaboration standpoint, because I think one does want to work with clients collaboratively over, you know, here's your creative, this is what you get, you know, or anything else, or even the other end of the spectrum would be, you know, they might end up calling all the shots, even the creative decisions. And then, you know, I think creatively it becomes a very difficult process. So it, you know, one wouldn't want too much involvement in those areas, but I think being very open and bringing the client along on the journey is super important.
Yeah. At camp last year, I had a discussion with John Lepore, who used to be at Perception. And I realized, I mean, I don't know how much like publicly I should tell all of my bad sides of me, but you know, like I got really stubborn for a while with my creative, where I wanted to present ideas as a holistic singular idea, because to that to me said that I'm decisive, here's my view and this is my direction. So like, say for this, like instead of like giving the trio of ideas concepts like you normally do, like I would want to do a singular idea, so that like I'm saying like this is my James view, this is what I want to do, and I have very distinct, you know, confidence in what I'm presenting. And I kind of asked John that. I said, you know, John, when you're presenting stuff, how often are you doing singular concepts versus like the buffet? And he said, well, you know, the buffet is pretty important because you're showing them, you know, two things. One, you're showing them what their money range is. You're like saying like, here's your low end, if this is what you're going to spend, here's your high end, and here's something in between, the sweet spot. He's like, and you're kind of letting them know like, hey, if you want that photoreal CG football person, that's going to cost you more. And so that's what we're showing you, this range. So that's important. So that was the first thing. But then also he said, the most important part of that was that you're letting them pick and be a part of the decision-making, versus like the one idea is telling them like what Juliet just said, this is my idea, this is it, and you have to like this or not, or like it's the highway. And although from like, again, from a stubborn artist point of view, I thought I was being decisive, because I look at people who present ideas as like, here's 25 ideas for this project. I see that as like, you're indecisive and you don't know what's good for this project. So I think it was just me understanding that there is still power in smaller decisions, like three options is pretty standard. But also it's like, it's showing, some people see that as that, like, I'm showing them that I care so much about their project that I thought about multiple solutions to this. So there, that is multifaceted, but, I thought that was kind of important in this collaborative kind of conversation that we were having.
Absolutely. And it sounds like you guys are now starting to like, you've kind of figured out the POV of, you know, how you're going to tell the story for this project and everything. And it sounds like, you know, ironically enough, it's going to be the audience that's like kind of like the hero in this. So, you know, with that kind of said, you know, now that we're kind of like going in this direction of like the audience is going to be the hero in this, and this is the POV that we're telling the story, you know, if you were to further refine how this is going to look and feel, you know, what then would you guys start to do?
In terms of how look it feels, I probably would look at the gameplay first, just to see what, you know, the vibe or the tone that they have. Is it like stylized? Is it super photoreal, or is it in between? And I think that we're gonna start there.
I vote, since we don't have a cap on budget, I kind of want to do it all. And this has always been my issue of being a versatile artist. But I'd love to push it, right? And I know we have a set time, but I think it'd be interesting to maybe we probably would have to think about it, James, in connection to your idea of, you know, getting an audience member's face, you know, on a certain character, or maybe a moment, you know, kiss cam moment type of thing at the end, whatever that might be. So we'd have to fit that in. But I do like the idea of pushing it to taking it into a commercial, right? Where a lot of Super Bowl ads are super fun and interesting. So then pushing it to live action plus CG. So we'd have, you know, interaction with a player. I love the idea of interesting transition. So it very well can be like a, I mean, we can go both ways. It can be a short narrative, right, of that converging together, or it can also be, we can approach it from almost like a creative mashup in terms of it being a sizzle, right? Something to interest and capture the attention of the audience, utilizing a lot of these different aspects, like even kind of the bespoke transitions that you spoke about, James, to capture the voice of different teams and audience members. So that's what I'm going to throw out there.
Yeah, I think you're hitting on the second like important component of like pushing a project forward, is that at that point we would probably have like a copywriter who's helping kind of figure out what the language of the spot is, to like figure out what, I mean, this is stuff that like they could have provided. Like they could say like, hey, our messaging is this and this is what we want to come across. But in this instance, you probably kind of want to help, you want to figure out the narrative that like Juliet just said, like of what the spot is going to be. So like the script for the spot is going to become kind of important, because you're, what is the story you're trying to tell in this time, and how do we best tell it? And so that would be probably, you would be bringing that in. And then actually at this stage, what I would focus on at the start is working with the game studio and getting as much as we can from them. So you kind of want to open up that line of communication early, because you want to give them time to get turnaround stuff, because usually at that point, if they're working in like their own bespoke engine or whatever, they have to kind of figure out how to like generate assets for you that work outside of their world. So at that point, I would just be doing like test with them, like export import test. And I would be, that's where I would push first. I'd be like, we need as much as possible from you. Like if you have stadium models, if you have character models, if you have logos, if you have whatever you have, like we want access to it. Even if that's like 3 terabytes of like stuff, like we want a drive, and I want to be able to give our artist everything that they can, that they don't need to remake, because there's no reason for us to make a full 3D helmet if you already have them. You know what I mean? So it's like, I like to bring that up early, because that process can be hard, especially for game studios to work with you, because you're not part of their pipeline. They're not used to giving you stuff, so they don't know what you can accept. And so that takes a little while to figure out. And then especially like Juliet said, if we're going to start introducing live action, then you're also going to be dealing with like lensing and kind of camera tracks and stuff. So then you also just want to make sure that you can get things from them that work in that regard too. So that's kind of where I would start next, is like, you would probably want to present like a couple of scripts to the client, like say like, here's spot one choice, spot, you know, whatever. And then also I would say kind of something that Juliet said, which I interpreted a different way than I think what you were saying, but you could also show the potential for how this umbrellas out to more spots. So like the spot that is bespoke and yes, interactive at the event, if you can also say like, hey, this idea is so good that we can showcase it in TV spots and mobile spots or whatever, and like that story and idea still works really well, then like, you know, that could be another strong component to them to like get them on board with you, because like it again shows them that you're kind of thinking like down the road, longer terms, and like other ways that these ideas could form.
One other thing that jumped into my mind is whatever we're making still has to somehow tie to the game itself, because the ultimate goal is for them to download the game and play. So if what I'm experiencing at the stadium is so great, but the game is different, then I probably won't stay and pay the monthly subscriptions to play it. So that's probably one thing too, because a lot of time you see the ads are like really nice and really awesome, and then the game, which is not that.
That's a really good point, in that I think in working across a lot of campaigns for games, actually, it's a very real creative problem to solve, in that we as artists always want to push it to make things better, right? Even if it's like, because for example, games oftentimes nowadays, games look amazing, but oftentimes might be a little bit more low poly than, you know, you would see in like Pixar films, right? And so in that sense, the internal want is like, yeah, we want to make it the best possible, but oftentimes with games, it is important to stay like very one-to-one and accurate to game design. And then kind of just give it a little bit more of like whatever that is, like cinematic edge, or, you know, a little better like comping or whatever that might be, to make sure that it does create an accurate enough experience. It's like better, but accurate experience for the audience. So that's a really good call out, Naki.
Well, they will also put at the bottom of the commercial a little asterisk that says not actual footage or gameplay. So you get a little leeway, but I think Juliet's hitting on like an important point, which is like sometimes they don't want the footage to be misleading, right? So like what Naki's saying is like, you're like, oh man, I saw this trailer. That thing looks amazing. You load it and you're like, this is really low poly. What is this? And so I think you have to like kind of balance that threshold of like, and you're embellishing the fidelity of what they can do, but it's still within their realms, which is pretty accurate. I think that's a good call. Yeah, and I think so, like in the timeline of making things, I think you would like, you know, so it's like we're talking about like ideation, concepting, coming up with story narrative, starting to figure out what our bins of our reference footage, getting assets, and then we would basically like going to design simultaneously at that point too. So you'd basically start having people like, you know, again, if you have this big production team and you get to have designers do everything, like it's almost like you would have designers exploring like team logos, and have designers exploring like, you know, these kind of cool transitions, and have designers exploring like, how are we going to introduce the title card at the end, or what that call to action looks like, and that kind of stuff. So you kind of get to like have people spread out versus like, all right, Juliet, I'm sorry, but you're going to have to design what the intro looks like, what the outro looks like, and what, you know, everything. You have to figure it all out by yourself and go. So I think that we get a little bit more resources there, but you know, it's kind of like at that point you get to kind of start off like your experimentation, because you're not going to have much time for experimenting on the back end. So you can have at that point, if you wanted even like animators, like doing like look dev on cool stuff, you know, like you could do that. The design is getting looked at, and then to this idea of like live action integration, I would probably even like have people start doing like little tests of like tracking like already existing footage and trying to like play with that. Like basically you kind of want to start like, I consider this like, you know, it's like my stupid analogy, but I always say like, you know, like a plumber doesn't show up to your house like empty handed and like, hey, where are your tools? Like you basically want to show up to like the problem with as many like ideas as possible. And you already have a bunch of things in your toolkit. So it's like, if you already kind of have like, here's my bucket of like transition ideas and camera transitions and logo ideas and whatever, then you kind of like, when you get into the tight finishing, you already have like all these things to pull from that already have like thought put into them. They're not having to be so like on the moment, like kind of, you know, figuring it out. So I think the beginning of a project is like, that's your buffer time of like when you actually have bonus time, because you're going to want that time when you're at the end and you're like, you're in a crunch. You're going to be like, I wish we had the time to spend figuring, making this transition better or whatever, but we don't. But if you do the, if you give yourself a little runway beforehand, you kind of, you have a little bit extra, you know, power in that, I guess.
I love that call out, because I'd say thinking back, I don't even know how many years on an actual job. You know, I think myself as well as the team that I had been working with at that time learned very like, you know, just like very hard that you really need to plan well upfront. So taking that time, you know, going from scripts to then even drawn out storyboards, making sure to time that, but also simultaneously working on style frames, right? To capture the vibe, the visual tone. How does the live action sit with the 3D character in the same world? You know, what does that look like? What do the transitions possibly look like? Or even stylistically, what are we exploring here? Actually doing all of that homework upfront creates a really strong skeletal system, even timing wise, you know, temporary reads to the actual script that gets time to the paced out storyboards. You know, it gives you the layers to build on to create a more complete, efficient, you know, effective piece. So I am a huge believer in that upfront process, and it matters. You know, it's worth putting the time and money into it.
Yeah,
absolutely. Well, it sounds like you guys have kind of focused on like, you know, like all the information you need to get to the actual concept. So playing devil's advocate here, if you were to bring this idea and concept, you know, into the next phases of the project, you know, the later parts of pre-production, like Julia was saying, of like storyboards and style frames, animation, you know, with even some of the look dev stuff that James is saying, you know, if you had to define, you know, the idea for this spot or this interactive ad, you know, what would you guys collectively say is sort of like the idea?
I feel like my idea is the power of the player and the, like, you know, like them getting to make the experience their own and with their friends. So that's kind of like all my ideas are kind of like going to tie around that, I think, is what I think is important, or what I'm trying to make important about their game.
Very cool. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Juliet, Naki, agree, disagree?
Oh yeah, for sure.
I would agree. I think even, I know we mentioned that this is loosely based off of, you know, EA's Madden game. I will say before we jumped on, I did take a peek at what they were doing. And it's a different interpretation, because for them, I think currently it's more just about showcasing the best moments of, you know, a gamer in that athlete's, you know, movements and whatever that might be. But I think the idea is similar, is focusing on one voice, and the audience is the athlete shining in their moment in all the areas that we want to showcase. So yeah, I like it.
Very cool. Well, and I love what you guys talked about too throughout this whole process, that, you know, I think the brief did mention that like, you know, the client was looking at sort of like a 3D MoGraph style, but you guys kind of explored this even bigger, like, you know, fuller idea of that to say like, you know, well, you know, if we've got this incredible budget to work with too, on top of it, you know, like, why not throw everything at it? Like, let's throw our best and, like, you know, throw all of our expertise at this in terms of live action comping, effects, 3D, you know, 2D, cell, you name it. And I think that that's what's really cool about, you know, collaborative projects, you know, in the motion design space too, that, like, maybe sometimes clients come to us with an idea and they think that they are thinking one direction, but like James is saying, but then you present maybe 2, 3, 4, and they're like, oh, well, I wasn't even thinking of that. It really kind of just then showcases again that, like, you know, hey, like, yeah, we hear you, we see what you want to do, and, you know, we want to tell that story as best as we possibly can, but there's these other ways to do it too. And I think that that's what's really cool about kind of like focusing on this early stage of the creative brief.
Yeah. I think it's also like understanding, you know, like, this is our ideas, because this is like who's in our like little brainstorm meeting. And like, Juliet wants to propose live action because she wants to go and direct some live action and, like, you know, get, you know, like, that's like, that's her jam or something. And so it's like, everyone is going to have like their, you know, if Naki was like a stop motion claymation artist, like, she would probably be proposing like, hey, you brought me on this project because of my past work, so this is what I'm bringing to the table. And so, like, that's what's also kind of like interesting about, like, when different studios or creatives get briefs like this, you're gonna kind of get a lot of different voices. I always say that, like, there are gonna be like, there's like common denominators that, like, in our industry, there's a lot of times where people lose jobs and they say, well, they took my idea. And I'm like, no, they didn't. You just had the common denominator. Like, basically, you got to the same solution that everyone did. And that, it's not that that was a bad idea. It's just that it was like the one, because of the brief and because of the creative, where everyone gravitated towards, you know, it's kind of like where everyone's brain goes. But the power of the brainstorm of everyone coming together is that it tries to diversify that so that the little like odds and ends ideas can actually like become stars. And so that's usually what kind of will set apart a discussion, is if you're able to, like, you can, you know, it's like, you know, people will do those like word webs, whatever they're called. It's like usually those first three words that you write, you know, like if you're going to do America and you're like red, white, blue, like those are the first three things that like everyone is going to do. But then when you start like breaking all those down and you get into like something like, you know, very nuanced, then you're kind of like getting into like some hidden gems. And so I think that those first ideas can sometimes be the ones that everyone is thinking of. So sometimes it's hard to get around those, but sometimes they're the best ones. And so sometimes it's just about the execution of it. And maybe you, like, you know, came up with like the best solve for it. And sometimes the winning decision between, you know, three shops who came up with a similar idea is just purely that, like, you know, Juliet put in the PDF that also we're going to shoot on this really cool new camera that like no one has used on like a sports set before. And then that really intrigues them, you know, like where they're like, oh, wow. Like, she researched the fact that, you know, everyone else has used these other things and this is like a new thing. And so, like, sometimes it could just be like that one little like execution thing that kind of like pushes you over. So.
Sure.
You touch a great point, James, because I was just thinking that, like, kind of we all, because we're doing MoGraph and such, we kind of all jump into this conclusion that it would be either live action video or AR experience. But interactive ads can be a lot more than that. Like, it could be like a scavenger hunts, can be quizzes, can be like polling, like within this 15 second, which team do you think get more votes, stuff like that. And so it's not just, so like more diverse people, like it's not just the one thing that you're specialized in would be like the only answer.
Yeah. I think, and that's where sometimes like it gets a little scary. I mean, again, in this situation, we have money, so it doesn't matter. But like in some instances, like I've been in the past where it's like I've tried to introduce maybe like a new technology into a pitch that the studio hasn't executed before. You get worried about being able to execute it because it's not something that's a repeatable process for you yet. So since it's new, you're working with new people, you're working with new processes, new pipeline. So that gets kind of like scary really fast. But like if you're in this instance, like let's say Naki, you're like, yeah, I think we should do this and we're going to use Unreal. And then at this point we could be like, okay, well we can bring in an engineer who does this and like a Unreal, like, you know, blueprint artist and, you know, whatever those fancy words are that associate with that. Like you basically could have the money to facilitate the actual roles to help you bring in something that's out of like your MoGraph toolbox, like to like you're bringing in something else. So in instances like this, you could kind of feel okay, like getting a little bit out of your comfort zone, but still feeling like you could execute it because you're paying a specialist at that point, you know?
Yeah, I like that because, you know, James, going back to your comment before around presenting one idea over three different options for the client, you know, I think presenting one that is set up for success can work. But the nice thing about presenting three options is that sometimes there is a variable of not knowing what the client's comfort zone is. So while we can think, you know, the world is our oyster and we present, you know, live action and all of that stuff, they may not have as a brand branched out that far yet, and they may not be comfortable with that. Or also, James, like you said, maybe for the studio or our team, there's something we want to explore further as in new tech. But, you know, we also want to have a safety net of like, okay, these two options are a little bit safer. You know, I think the three options, whether it's collaboration with client or even presenting different options, gauging their comfort zone or level, it does wonders in giving it that space to be able to push and pull and hit the target to what is right in the end. And then the other thing I loved based on what you said, James, was the idea of how can this one ask, creative ask, then open up to a full campaign. I think presenting that to the client, sometimes even though it's not asked, is super helpful in that, you know, when you pitch against other companies, you need to land on top, right? And so I think Chris Doe touches on this a lot in all of his, like, you know, talks, but it's important to come from a perspective of like, in working with the client, what can we bring to help the client, you know, to the table? And ultimately, when you give an option of like, look, this can open up to like social campaigns, this can open up to, you know, other slightly bespoke, you know, like commercials or whatever that might be, much like, you know, the Game of Thrones title sequence, right? Like when you add that in, it then continues to bridge this line of work where your studio is hired again and again and again to then continue to shift on this, like, you know, new visual campaign for them. And it helps them hopefully, you know, make the money that they're looking to make. So yeah, those are really interesting thoughts, I think, to think on.
I will say, I'll circle back to what you said, which is the three ideas. And I would say 99% of the time, if you put a scary idea into your brief pitch that you are scared to do, and you put your safe ones in there, they're gonna pick the hard one. And like, just be prepared that if it's in there, that also means it's on the table and you have to execute it. So like, for sure. I always tell people, like, if you have frames in your deck that you don't know how you're gonna do, like, they are exciting and they do get people on board, but just be prepared for them picking those, because like, that's where they're gonna gravitate towards.
You have to deliver. We have to deliver. That's important.
Yeah.
My experience has always been, if you put three options, they want all three.
Oh, yes.
Oh, good call out. Too.
Yeah, that is the other 99% chance. Mm-hmm. Those are all 99% chances. Yeah. We love it all. Do it all. Yeah. It's like,
mix them all. We get that too.
It's like, one of those was like crayons and one of those was stop motion. What do you mean mix them all together?
Well, I love that you guys have all said though that, you know, by doing the three options, it brings the client into the process, makes them part of the process. It allows you guys to, you know, really do some exploration in terms of creative style and stuff. And, you know, it's funny coming into this discussion today, I was sort of just like, well, wouldn't it be cool if we could kind of like, you know, come to like, you know, an idea that we would then take further, you know, in this fictional world of, you know, going into, you know, production and stuff. But it's in doing this discussion, you know, that's actually a really challenging thing to do in this type of scenario, because, you know, the real world budget, you know, we just, you know, we don't really have anything like that for this discussion today. And I think that that, you know, but it's also allowed us to kind of say like, you know, well, what the heck, you know, let's explore all these different kinds of like opportunities. Like we're able to, we can, why wouldn't we, you know? And that then allows you to kind of show the client like, well, this is what we're really capable of doing. So I love that you guys have been talking about all of this together, because now I'm sort of just like, yeah, maybe the end result for today's discussion is that, hey, you know, it's, you know, quasi real world, but, you know, all these different things that we have on the job really do play a hand in what that end result looks like. Well, I mean, it's been really cool, you know, doing this with you guys. I hope, you know, you've enjoyed it just as much as I have. It's been really cool to kind of hear like how you guys all sort of approach projects from the very, very beginning, including even just, you know, conversations with the client. So yeah, you know, thank you guys for, you know, jumping on today and doing this. It's been really cool to get a glimpse into your creative thinking. We'll be sure to share links to some of the resources that you all have mentioned here throughout the discussion so that viewers who are tuning in can check them out. And before we wrap things up, I just have to give one of our guests here, Mr. James Ramirez, a big shout out for actually helping pull this roundtable together. He's been an integral part behind the scenes, making this discussion happen today. This type of format is definitely very different from what the show usually is. And it requires some out of the box thinking. So thank you, James, for, you know, helping out with everything today. And thank you all, you know, Naki, Juliet, for, you know, being willing to have this type of a candid, you know, different kind of conversation than what we're used to on the podcast. You know, I've been really grateful that you guys were all able to do this today. It's been really cool, you know, getting this glimpse into your worlds.
Thanks for doing this. I mean, it's like I mean these are people that I really admire their work, and you know, like Juliet, like I didn't say that in the beginning, like, you know, we both worked at Royale, and I met Juliet at Royale when I was there, and like, I mean, she really like pushed me in what I was doing by like how amazing like of an art director that she was. And so and I like absolutely like love Naki's work, and so these are like two people that I really, you know, respect and admire. And so it's like really amazing to like get to like spend time with everyone today and talking about these things. So yeah, thanks for doing this, and I hope like to see more of this and like, you know, more people kind of like brainstorming on stuff, because these types of like collaborative conversations, you know, like me and Carolyn have been talking about, is like there's not a lot of these out there, and they're not very transparent. So it's kind of fun to kind of talk about this, because, you know, sometimes people don't understand how projects come to be, or, you know, or what that process is like. Sometimes, you know, me and Naki were talking earlier, is like sometimes we're given very limited windows of insights into like what we're brought on to do. And so it's kind of like, kind of, you know, just fun to expand that for everybody and to kind of see what everything involved is like. But yeah, thanks for having us.
Absolutely. No, it's been a pleasure having you all here. And yeah, like you said, James, you know, I, you know, follow all of your guys' work on social and everything that you're, you know, posting on your websites and sharing. And, you know, it's, again, like every other episode of this podcast, really cool to see, you know, the thinking behind how you come to your sort of like final outputs. So to get insight, like you said, the transparent insight, candid insight into all this stuff has been just really insightful today. So, you know, yeah, can't thank you guys enough for, you know, dedicating some time to do this today.
Thank you. Thank you. I think I already took some notes, like I learned for myself for next time when I'm doing these like brainstorms. So thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having me. I'm honored. This is a great crew.
That was awesome. No, it's fantastic. Well, thank you guys all again. That wraps it up for the very first Style Frame Saturdays Roundtable, everyone, please feel free to email us at styleframesatpod@gmail.com to let us know what you thought of today's format and if you'd like to see more of these types of discussions here on the show in the future. And as always, if you like what you see and hear here, don't forget to subscribe, like, share, and review the show on your favorite podcasting platforms as well. Lastly, come connect with us on social. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and LinkedIn. Thank you all for tuning in. And thank you again, James, Juliet, and Naki, for joining us today. And we'll see you all in the next one.